What did you buy?
Saturday.
Congratulations. Very good. Nice, we're good.
Oh, she's probably more ready than you.
Good evening, everyone. We are gonna get started tonight. I ask we all rise for the pledge to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and thank you to the young yet booming voices I heard out in the audience this evening. Thank you for joining us. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith. Dr. Remnick.
Present.
Ms. Quiatek.
Present.
Ms. Leung.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert. Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Cologne.
Present. Councilwoman Ramsey Smith and Dr. Van Wert, they are not going to be joining us this evening as they enjoy their vacations. Before we get started with our regular council meeting, we do have City Council will have a public hearing to accept public comment concerning a proposed zoning text amendment to clarify the definition and parameters for environmental education centers, community recreation centers, and nature preserves. This includes Article 1302, definitions, 1304, allowed uses in primarily residential districts, 1305, allowed uses in primarily non-residential districts, and Article 1322, additional requirements for specific uses. This public hearing is for informational purposes only. There will be no vote during the public hearing. And then in connection with this public hearing, there are two communications. I will ask the clerk to read both Communication 6A and 6B.
Communication 6A, a May 4th, 2023 memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, recommending approval of zoning text amendments related to environmental education centers and similar uses. City Planning Commission voted 5-0 on April 13, 2023 to recommend approval of the amendments. Communication 6B, the June 23, 2023 correspondence from Jillian Seitz, Senior Community Planner with the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Ms. Seitz states that the application proposes to amend the city's zoning ordinance by adding definitions for community recreation center, environmental education center, and nature preserve, and allows daycare centers as an accessory use to environmental education centers. This proposal supports numerous actions to future LV, the regional plan. The amendment also aligns actions and recommendations of the city's climate action plan, Ms. Seitz asserts.
Thank you. The public hearing is now called to order. We will start by recognizing a representative from the administration to discuss the amendments. Ms. Heller? Ms. Heller, if you don't mind just identifying yourself for those who aren't familiar with who you are.
Sure. I'm Darlene Heller, the Director of Planning and Zoning for the City of Bethlehem. And if there are zoning amendments to come, that we would propose to come before council. They are also first submitted to our Planning Commission and to the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. And you did read off those letters. The Lehigh Valley Planning Commission was supportive, as was the city's Planning Commission. It's a very brief amendment that's proposed. It's pretty specific, as you noted in your comments. Specifically to clarify definitions for community recreation center, environmental education center, and nature preserve. We don't have those definitions now. There are three different uses, and the definitions do clarify those. There's a couple of other sections here in Article 1304 of the zoning ordinance, which is the use chart for both residential uses and commercial uses. We are proposing that because a daycare center is permitted in any lawful place of worship as an accessory use, it should also be permitted as an accessory use in an environmental education center in both commercial and residential zones. We also list in the specific uses chapter 1322 that under the requirements for a daycare, where a daycare is permitted as an accessory use for a place of worship, it should also be included as an accessory use in an environmental education center. And then in that same section, 1322, we add some basic provisions for an educational, environmental educational center. One is just what accessory uses might be included in there, playscapes, plant nurseries, there's quite a variety of things in there. And the second provision talks about parking, and if a daycare is included, the parking requirements for daycare use. And also that if a daycare is included, that the daycare should include all of the other requirements for daycare use in the city. It's very brief, it's very specific. We put it together to try to support the uses that are now in the city and to support others that would have an interest in coming to the city. As you noted in your comments, and as LVPC did, it also supports the recommendations of the Climate Action Plan that were, the plan was proposed and approved a couple of years ago. And in a variety of ways, we try to move some of those recommendations forward. So if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer those.
Thank you, Ms. Heller. I'll turn it over to members of council. Any questions from members of council for Ms. Heller?
Thank you. So we added a definition for community recreation center, however, didn't add the accessory use of a daycare center in that instance. Is that because that's already within the use of a community center, or is there a reason why that was not included?
That's a good question. I do believe it's included in the range of uses that would be included within a community recreation center. I liken that to the Boys and Girls Club,
right?
Something along those lines.
Exactly.
Right.
So, but I was just confused a little because we're adding a definition, which means we didn't have a definition before.
Correct.
But we know what the uses are for that. So we just needed a definition to clarify what it is, but we already have acceptable uses for a community center within the rest of the zoning ordinance. That's what you're saying. These things already exist. So
the uses we do have uses similar to this in the city.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we haven't really clarified them as a listed permitted use in the ordinance itself.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering if that might be something that would be worth doing. Since right now it seems like the list of the accessory uses, comma, daycare center. We're adding environmental education center and two lawful places of worship. Like, those are the only two places that can have a daycare center as an accessory use.
We can add that for clarification if you like. It doesn't.
I think most people think, oh yes, they have daycare centers at things like the YMCA and the Boys and Girls Club. But I just want to make sure that we have it in there that that's a use.
Sure, we could do that.
Thank you.
Ms. Heller, is adding that a significant enough change that it would have to go back to the Planning Commission?
I would defer to your legal counsel on that. It's minor in nature if it's already permitted in the city, but really that's not my call.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that I don't think that would have to go back to the Planning Commission. I think that's just more clarification as opposed to an amendment. Mr. Spurk, I don't know if you would disagree or agree with me on that, but I don't think that's something that needs to go back.
You said they're permitted already?
Well, we do have similar uses to that in the city, and I would use a Boys and Girls Club as an example.
But not addressed in the ordinance itself?
Correct.
Specifically called out accessory uses there.
Well, the community recreation center is going to be a primary use. we had presumed a daycare would be accessory to that, and the request is that it be called out as a permitted accessory use of daycare.
And you're saying we would have interpreted our existing zoning ordinance. Oh, Mike.
So we would just have presumed that when it said community recreation center, it came with it without calling it out.
Yes, and sometimes, I mean, in our minds, we can visualize what we intend, but it's if it's not clarified, then others may interpret it otherwise. So it's good to include things for clarification. I would certainly agree that that's a good amendment.
But wouldn't agree necessarily that that wouldn't require it to go back through the process.
No, I think...
You're not the lawyer.
No, I'm not agreeing or not
right.
agreeing. I'm just
We're
deferring to someone else.
Thank you, Mr. Pinella. Thank you, Ms. Heller, for that. And then, Ms. Heller, can you just clarify, so when you say accessory uses, so we talked about within a... environmental education center, a daycare could be an accessory use. Mm-hmm. Can you just explain briefly what that means?
Well, the uses that we list or the functions are pretty broad. Community gardens, meeting space, performance space, wildlife habitats, wildlife viewing areas, interpretive signage, hiking, walking trails, playscapes, native plant nursery. So it's a wide range of uses that they can include. So what we're envisioning is that there could be daycare or child education that would be nature-based, would include an educational element. I think there's different types of daycare, and certainly, you know, this would be something unique that might be specific to an environmental education center.
But if it's listed as an accessory use, is there any further permission needed? Like, do they have to go to the zoning hearing board or anything like that, or is it just rolled into?
It's just rolled in.
What they're classified as?
Correct.
So I thought, just wanted to make sure. I don't have any other questions or comments. Any other members of council? Questions or comments for Ms. Heller?
I don't have any additional questions, but I just wanted to point out that that was my one question, was just wondering about that. So just to sort of underscore that, it did make me scratch my head a little bit, so it might be worth clarification. And so can I clarify for my own purposes that accessory use just means something not within sort of the typical realm of what you would expect there. So in a place of worship, that's not its primary use. So this is, and then I guess the presumption was that at a community recreation center, that is a place where young people go for recreation, and so that the daycare kind of just is rolled into that naturally.
Right, but we can clarify that, and we can forward an amended version of this to your next meeting. The ordinance does have a specific definition for primary use and accessory use. I mean, I can't recite them right now, but it is pretty clear in the ordinance that there is a differentiation.
Any other questions or comments from Ms. Heller? Thank you, Ms. Heller.
Thank you.
So we're going to turn it over to public comment. Now, this is public comment specifically on these amendments, which we're taking information on tonight. So I know there were a few people who had signed up for a public comment related to nature education. So I'm going to go around the room. This would be an appropriate time to give feedback if you wanted to about these amendments. So I will start on the left. Was there anyone who wanted to give comment about these potential zoning changes? I turn to the center. Was there anyone who wanted to give comment? Ma'am.
Good evening. Victoria Bastidas, 1311 Santee Mill Road, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So I would just like to keep your meeting a little short. I represent all of these young families, if everybody can stand. We would all like to thank you for your support of environmental education, open space, and your community center. This is the future of your city, and we are just so thankful that you are moving forward on this. So you guys can sit for just a minute. Yes, even our young 75-year-olds are here. The one thing I would like to offer, though, as clarification of the daycare, for us to do environmental education, this is an environmental education center, for children, if you are going to have children without their parent, then you must be regulated by the Department of Human Services for the state, which means anything that has a child outside of school hours during the school year, or children below the age of school age during the summer, you do have to go through the Department of Human Services. It only makes sense to make sure that our site is safe, to make sure that our teachers are, you know, accredited. It all makes sense. It's all in the best interest. It is not that nature centers traditionally do daycare. It's that in order to serve those children, we must be under the regulation of the state. That does not go for summer camp, though. Summer camp is a whole other thing, apparently, in the state, and they, as long as your kids aren't below the age of school age, you get a little permit for $25, and you can run a summer camp. But I just want to tell you thank you so much, and this was a wonderful thing you did today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fastidis. Is there anyone else in the Wise Center who wanted to make comment about the potential zoning changes? I will turn to the right. Was there anyone to the right who wanted to make comment? Ma'am, in the last row.
I'm the old
7-year-old. Hi. My name is Liz Doyle, and I live on Center Street, Bethlehem, and I've been in Bethlehem about 10 years and discovered the farm by accident looking for a preschool for my grandson. I have now 6 grandchildren, and it's a big job. But I came across this ad on Craigslist, and it was profoundly beautiful about what they could do for teaching children nature and teaching them, you know, the basics of education. And I called up, and Vicki said, come up to the open house we're having. I was just amazed that 2 miles from my house, there was a farm, and open space and trees, and it was just a beautiful spot. It was like, holy crow, this is right down the road. And it's been since then to get to this point where Vicki's possibly going to be able to do this preschool. She's done it for a small group of kids, and they've just done amazingly. They've had phenomenal results. So my son's 10, my grandson's 10, and he was eating elderberries the other day. I said, oh, they're good for your dog. He said, no, Miss Vicki said it's okay. We can identify them. See, it's got this here and that there, and so it's fine. And they proceeded to eat the whole container. So that's the kind of information that they can learn from no place else. You don't have that space in the environment anywhere in our backyards. And I just thank you if you can make this move forward and really become preschool for the town. It would be a wonderful thing. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there in the last row in the back?
I'll be brief.
We're not going anywhere.
You might want to. My son, Finn, will be entering first grade at Spring Garden in the fall. And we stumbled upon Camel's Hump. I was looking for a preschool in the middle of a pandemic to get him socialized. And we stumbled upon it, and it was an amazing experience. He and 2 other kids went for 2 years. Like Ms. Liz said, he can go and pick things. Oh, this is goldenrod. No, these are wineberries. Be careful, those are thorny. And he's writing, entering kindergarten at Spring Garden, and he flourished there, all because of what we did at Camel's Hump. My middle daughter, who's 3 and a half, when can I go to farm school? When can I go to farm school? And I have a 1-year-old. So I just want to, I can't thank Victoria and the farm enough for what it's done for our family. And it's just incredible. And so to have this opportunity is we're really hopeful to finally get this going. So thank you.
Hey, your name?
Oh, sorry. My name's Heather Irvin.
Thank you. Was there anyone else? Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds and City Council. I remember before I came to this nature center, I was bored at home with my older sister and younger brother because my parents had work. But now I can go outside and explore nature and have fun with my friends instead of watching TV all day long. So I love camp.
And what was your name?
Crystal Finnegan.
Crystal, thank you for coming tonight. Is there anyone else who wanted to make comment this evening? Anyone in the center? Anyone to the right? Going once, I see some maybes. Going twice. All right. We're going to conclude our public comment this evening. Thank you, everyone who came out to speak. And just a reminder, we're not voting on anything tonight, but the ordinance will be put on the agenda for our August 1st meeting coming up in a couple weeks. So thank you. And the public hearing is adjourned. Get home safe, everyone. We're going to move on with our regular city council meeting. We'll start with the approval of minutes for July 5th, 2023. Any comments on minutes? Seeing none, minutes stand approved. Empty out quick. We're going to go through, as we typically do, through our sign-up list of those who have signed up in advance. I think some of these folks may have spoken already or at least want to speak about it. So I'll start with Thomas, I think it's Kester. I believe that was for the Environmental Center. Moving on to Aaron Mooney. And as everyone speaks, if you don't mind just sharing your name for the record, and we'll allot everyone 5 minutes.
Hi, my name is Erin Loney. I am here with my husband, Raul Gomez. We reside at 1224 Center Street in Bethlehem, and lived there for 17 years now. And we're here to advocate for the residents of the 1200 block of Center Street, as well as other area residents that reside in duplex homes, believed to be built around 1900. Our block is located between Locust Street and Elizabeth Avenue. It is the last block of one-way traffic northbound. The joy of duplex homes is that to remediate anything, it requires two halves of owners to come together and to work together. Without both of their involvement, it can't be done. In Bethlehem, there's been a demonstrated history to condemn and demolish both sides of a duplex when one side has a structural failure. One side can't stand without the other. This has been evidenced by the experience of our neighbors who are here tonight, Bernard and Diane Wilson. Here. They were our neighbors at 1220 Center Street, and it was the northern side of that duplex. In August of last year, as you know, the southern wall of the duplex had already failed. They were given 2 weeks to clear out their home of 19 years and to vacate. Their property was deemed unfit and is no longer there. There is now two empty lots where their home stood. We fear, as far as the residents of Center Street, that theirs will not be the last. Bethlehem did try to assist in remediation, but work was considered too dangerous and no one would take on the task. They could not find a willing crew. So now they are left with a mortgage on a house that's no longer there, and a lien has been placed on their mortgage for the demolition, regardless that those costs were paid by RDA with funds received by the Commonwealth. Our neighborhood watched as their home was torn down with the absolute fear that we would follow. The Wilsons were an anchor in our neighborhood. Their absence is felt every day, and the field that was once their home is a constant reminder we're all at risk. Their absence is a void that's felt daily. We share their heartbreak and hope together we can find a better narrative for all of us. Last week, Raul and I received a hand-delivered letter from the city requesting a structural report for our home within 5 days. We complied, and we've been working with Bethlehem's building and housing inspector, Philip Roeder, who has been extremely helpful and extremely kind throughout this process. During the entirety of the time we've lived there, the adjacent structure has been owned by landlords who have not lived there. They live elsewhere and have not intended in any way to engage with us. The other half of our building was sold in August to 1222 Center Street, LLC. We've never seen anyone on the premises. We've never seen them mow the lawn, pick up their mail. It's just been left. We could be more prepared to remediate our half of the duplex, but we fear a similar circumstance. If we were to put the money into the structure necessary, that does not guarantee us that we will not lose our house. Per the article that was written back on February 26th about Diana Bernard's experience, the morning call letter, article written by Lindsay Weber had stated that in July 22, an engineering report suggested that issues with the soil in the neighborhood could be a factor, and it could also be a factor affecting our structures. So we're here today to ask for your help. The Wilsons have needed your help for some time. We need your help now, and our neighbors are going to need your help tomorrow. Please help us save the equity we have spent years building. Help us to find a more effective way to handle joint remediation ongoing. We're grateful for your time, insight, and assistance, and we deeply appreciate any efforts to help each of our families, whatever our need arises. So thank you to you all.
Thank you, Mrs. Mooney, and thank you, Mr. Mooney, for coming out. If you want to stick around to the end of the meeting, speak to any members of council or any members of the administration, you're welcome to.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Our next speaker signed up was Rachel Abbott. I think Rachel may have left with the departing group. Our next speaker, to just make out a name, I believe it says Flum. May have also been here for the opening act. Our next speaker signed up is Artie Caratola.
Hi, I'm Marty Curatola at 813 Lawford Street, born and raised on the south side of Bethlehem, whose grandparents were born and raised in Italy, and I'm proud of it. If someone's going to talk bad about the south side people or Italian people, I'm not going to cry about it like some little baby who's insecure about his or her race, color, or creed. Here in the United States of America, we have a thing called freedom of speech. And they say, let them talk, I won't walk, I will hear, though I'm not queer. Let me add, queer has nothing to do with being gay. Since over one-third of the world's adult population had homosexual experiences, there is nothing weird, strange, or queer about being gay. So throw that queer thing away and stop being offended by it if you're gay. Uncool individuals who use the word to offend homosexuals, they're queer. Anti-Semitic, that's queer. Freedom of speech. We're walking on eggs with this anti-Semitic guff. Where's the freedom of speech here? If you speak from the heart, and you gotta be afraid that someone of the press is going to use their freedom of press to downgrade you as a homophobic, anti-Semitic, racist, redneck derelict. Keep in mind, you're hired by we the people. Running a city is business, not personal. My best friend and partner for well over 20 years at the Creative Sound Studio in Philadelphia, Jerry Dreeben, rest his soul, was Jewish. Norman and Jolly Joyce of the Jolly Joyce Theatrical Agency gave me my start as a theatrical agent at the young age of 18 in Philadelphia in 1966. They were Jewish. So for any of you today to be pointing our finger at me and crying to the press, he's anti-Semitic, he hurt my feelings, we gotta come down a peg or two. You have low self-esteem and are not that confident in yourself or the party who I'm running to replace in 2025. My views and ideas that I brought to your table and brought up in December were stepped on with this anti-Semitism. As I said then, and I'm saying now, our city of Bethlehem, named after the city that Jesus Christ was born, who strongly stated that we should strive to be a good example to all, needs to be looked at carefully by attacking and correcting any issues or articles that would make our city not as credible as it could be. And there's a lot of issues and articles that need to be corrected. Two businesses in our city that we need to help correct, who are making us look bad, are ArtsQuest and the Bethlehem Parking Authority. We cannot give them free rein to do whatever they want. Around 10 years ago, I performed a comedy show at the Bankel Cinema for ArtsQuest because I made a joke or two about the Mexican people and the Irish people. I was barred forever for being labeled a racist by performing any venues at ArtsQuest or Music Fest, even though not one of the 100 or more people in that theater walked out on my performance booed or were offended. Ryan Hill, the head of the comedy division of ArtsQuest, used this racist thing as a crush so that I wouldn't move in on his position. He is so naive to believe that I would have any interest at all to make the Lehigh Valley a funny place to be. So with his childish self-confidence, he labeled me a racist and takes away my freedom of speech at ArtsQuest. Freedom of speech. This buffoon couldn't entertain and hold a crowd for 10 minutes, but I make a good living entertaining and holding crowds for over an hour in clubs, theaters, parties, and corporate events. I gave Hill many opportunities before he got with ArtsQuest.
Mr. I ask you to leave out any other private citizens in your comments, please.
Okay, but the thing is, the fact is, I perform many places, many corporate bookings, many parties, many clubs, and, you know, I'm not like some people that seem like they're rehearsing for a nervous breakdown. But the thing is, you know, I go nonstop. You could check with the Garden of Easton on Butler Street this past Friday. I performed solo for over an hour and a half, nonstop, without losing one audience member to even go to the restroom. For performances lasting for over 3 hours, this racist has been performing Mexican restaurants all over the tri-state area for well over 10 years and for 5 years at the Mexico Lindo restaurant, 720 Main Street in Bethlehem, every second Saturday of the month from 6 to 9, plus for other special occasions.
Mr. Caratello, I ask if you could please start to bring this to a conclusion.
Okay, this Mexican owner who I brought here to City Hall conference meetings thought my jokes were funny, but ArtsQuest took my freedom of speech away. Now, you city council members and you Semitic sympathizers, maybe you love to take my freedom of speech away. I have no more to say. God bless you all.
That exhausts our list of everyone who had signed up. I will go around the room, starting to the left. Is there anyone who wanted to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? Mr. Rodriguez?
Yeah. Rodriguez, 336 13th Avenue, Bethlehem. I came here tonight because I wanted to say something about if you had an interest of a private property on Stefka Boulevard and the back where the three dumpsters are at, opposite the United Check Cashing, to see if you can get some interest in what you have on Third Street for the kids, a skate park. Maybe it would help if you got together and create something there in that area for the kids, and it would hopefully help some of these folks in that sector with uniting, and maybe they can come up with the city and the ownership of that property. I don't know who owns it. I went to Livingston Street Apartments, and I made a couple calls, but I just can't find out who owns it. So I'm asking the city to get involved. We're trying to see if they can create a skate park in that area. It's a huge, huge area behind there. Huge. And before anything happens that something is bought and something else is put there, which is really unwanted, and the kids are left out, not good. Not good. I want to see something happen with those, with that area for the kids. It'll stop a lot of, I think, that what's happening in the private parking lot, in the Stefka parking lot area, with skateboarding in that immediate area where they're going up and down the streets in front of the store owners and not caring about, you know, who's coming in or who's going out. That's very dangerous, because they're doing a lot of speeding in that area. And the other thing I want to talk about is that, you know, for the longest time there was a restaurant in the Westgate area. And I'm wondering, why is it that you don't have why haven't you created a restaurant in that immediate area? And what's the problem with trying to gain the ownership of that, you know, of that restaurant that's no longer, it's there, it's visible. It's like a ghost town there. We need a restaurant in that area. There are the folks that's there. They got the restaurant on Shannonsville Road, Italian, and maybe a couple pizza owners around there, but not a restaurant. We got stores, not a restaurant. I go to a restaurant every morning for breakfast, and I just would like something, you know, inexpensive. So I won't have to go down to another restaurant, no names mentioned, and pay almost double the price. That's unreal. There's a lot of illegal vehicles. I always stated, you know, since I've been coming here for the longest time, but it's getting worse. The illegal vehicles on these streets without plates, no inspections, loud mufflers every single night through this entire city. We see motorcycles. And it's not just for playing. There are drugs involved in these motorcycles, but the police have not been able to handle anything on that because they don't have the proof. But there is a lot of speeding, a lot of dumping litter on our streets throughout our city. That is sickening. We need something done about this because, you know, they're dumping out of their vehicles, you know, McDonald's stuff, Burger King stuff. It's not their fault. It's the people that don't care about where they're dumping. And then the neighborhoods have to pick up after them. So do we need a little more containers in certain areas? I don't know. But I know that it's happening because it's all over. The dumping of, which is the last meeting that I came to, which was taken care of, the owner of that Stefka Boulevard property did something with the trucks that pick up garbage, and somehow it's no longer there. I guess he paid for it, but the dumping that's happening there comes from, I believe, because I've been checking here and there when I go around that area, especially sometimes when I'm boarding out and I go specifically to that area, and what do I find? Mattresses, household items. It's coming from people that are collecting.
Mr. Rodriguez, I'm going to ask you to start bringing this to a close.
Yes.
Please.
Collecting household items, and they're dumping it there. And that shouldn't be the responsibility of the property owner, and neither anyone else. So I'm asking you also to get the police department. I talked to our police chief about this. Hopefully something can take place. So I thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Is there anyone else to the left who wants to make comment this evening? Turn to the Wise Center. Is there anyone who wants to make comment? Mr. Antalis?
Before I start, I have two items I wish to discuss, and they are both on the agenda, and I probably will not have enough to address both with 5 minutes, so I would like to discuss one of them here at this courtesy of the floor, if there's no objection. Stephen Antalik, 77 Ridge. In relation to Administration Order 7B7, there appears to be a number of points which should be discussed in an open forum before the citizenry and in the spirit of transparency before a vote is taken. The points may be, number one, can an employee of the city be appointed as head of a board or authority? Number two, is there a conflict of interest when the appointee is head of Community and Economic Development Department, which is involved in CRIS matters? Number three, boards, commissions, and authorities members are appointed by administration with the approval of council, but are intended to be independent of both. Number four, the official organization chart of the city of Bethlehem shows the line connecting all boards, authorities, and commissions as being connected to the line between the lines connecting the city and the administration as equal partners. So it's independent of both council and administration. If the candidate is appointed as head of BREA, should they resign their position as head of CED, since if they hold both positions, it would violate organization chart, thereby giving the administration control of the BREA. So if that appointment is made and the person doesn't resign, you are now connecting the authority to the administration, which violates the official organization chart. So this raises a very serious question. It also raises a question of the 75,000 people in Bethlehem. Is there no one else qualified to fill that position? And the gentleman who's running that organization now, I understand, is well qualified. So this smacks of another issue. The appointment to a historic board by reappointing a highly qualified person. So the question is this in the benefit of the city, or is this a way of maintaining control? Council, you old citizen, an honest answer. So that I assume, rather than I assume, but I feel that there even should not be a vote because of the violation of the city organization chart.
Thank you, Mr. Antalis. Is there anyone else in the Wise Center who would make comment on anything you choose this evening? I turn to the right. Anyone to the right? Sir in the front. So there's a microphone right behind you if you'd be more comfortable bringing that to you.
Yes, good evening.
Do you mind sharing your name, please?
Bernard Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Victim at 1220 Center Street,
and
my question is to find out why I had no assistance from any council members or whatever, that you could put your neighbor out and tell me, the city, that my house was all right, and that what they were going to do was lift my house up and then put a retaining wall on it. Well, they left it empty for a year and a half almost, and then they came at me and told me I had to move. And the bad thing about this is I lived there, I thought I was going to die on that block. Eventually, because I liked the neighborhood, basically the city came in and they just took my house, put me out, refused to give me even a dollar place to stay. He told my insurance company that, because my one dropped me, he told my insurance company that you no longer is structural damage. They canceled my insurance on me. The city told that, I have it in writing, and so far. But me, and I don't get into this tit for tat, but I'm the only black homeowner on that block, and they directly came and they treated me like, you know, and I have a lot of health issues, and I mean, they gave us 7 days in the house, 18, 19, 20 years. You can't move your stuff like that. And then they said, we'll let you come back to get your stuff at a given time. I would have never stayed in that house if they had told me or warned me before then, not with my kids coming home and grandkids. But the question that I want to know is, how can the city condemn or allow people to do this and just don't offer me anything? The same people who dropped me from the insurance, saying that the city said that this has been going on since 2018. There's never been nothing in writing sent to me, you know. And I've basically almost had a stroke. It just agitated me. I didn't owe any insurance. My taxes are paid. I was a good person that, you know, paid his bill. Never had a disturbance at my home. I've never received any more. I wasn't even allowed to come in this building at a certain point so they could keep this certified and send me letters, and no one's cared about me. Now I'm living in a one-bedroom apartment that, you know, it's, me and my wife, it's hard to, when you're living in a house and, you know, you have equity in it. So now what's going on is, now my mortgage company's acting funny. I asked them, I paid through February. I asked them would they allow me to put it on the back end of the mortgage, because I didn't believe that we were going to go that far. And then once they got rid of the insurance company took over, and they were carrying me at a higher rate. And it's now, and I understand, they get, well, they already bulldozed my house, you know, and I had personal things in there that I assumed that I was coming back for. And I know someone in the city or the council people, someone had to see it, but no one's ever addressed it. It's like, you know, I can't afford $25,000 to retain an attorney, you know, so I think the program is you work and wake him out, and then you just, you know, he moves on. You know, I understand they're getting ready to put my lot up for auction soon, you know, and I'm not stopping. I have contact to the Attorney General and a few other people, you know, EEOC, because I felt that I, being the first, was discriminated. Just get out. And they didn't come like in a way of talking to you. They came and just dictated. They talked to me real low, just said what they wanted to me. And I'm not going to keep going on and on. I just wanted to address the matter. Why no one in the city ever looked at my issue? I mean, the Morning Call had it on the front page of the paper, 5 pages, and no one's ever came to us and said this or that. They didn't even know if, when I moved. You can't, I didn't have the money, and I'm going to go with your timer, but I had to get some people to move us, and my daughter got someone, and they did this, and we got other people. They didn't even want to pay
storage.
Yes, stuff's in storage. We'll give you 8 months, but she had to wait every other month to take it, and then they sent her a little check. I just think it's horrible that in this city, nobody, I mean, it's like, see it. Now, you know, I'm living in a one bedroom that me and my wife, we can't even get along, but we don't have anybody to reach out. I've been through, you know, the Bar Association, trying to get someone to help me. I went to pro bono, I went to legal aid, I've been through so many people that, you know, and if they knew this since 2018, why did they leave me there and then it's come and give me 7 days? If you let me stay there a year and a half after they put the neighbors out, a year, 2 years, yeah, whatever it was, I'm just saying, they and my house was the only one that showed no outside structural damage. Pictures just prove that, but the houses, and some people are still there, they got, what's that, board plywood on it, and bricks have fell, and you know, you tell, I mean, I know it must not mean nothing to you, you're trying to rush, I'm just basically, you know, trying to be as calm as I can. There's no reason to act out of order, you know, and I'm college educated, went to Syracuse University, but I'm saying, you know, they treated me like a piece of, you know, I have two daughters, that, three or whatever, they went to Liberty High School. You know, they have masters, bachelors, you know. So it's not like we were people that you would have a problem with, but I just want to know why the city of Bethlehem, no one came to my aid, wouldn't even give me a loaf of bread. The insurance company that dropped me said the city, solicitor or whatever, somebody from City Hall said that we gotta go, and they said we can't cover you anymore. I'm gonna get off, but I'm just trying to vent to you something that has destroyed my life. My cardiologist, he wrote 2 letters to the city telling him, you don't know what you're doing, this young man. You know, I have, you know, paid him.
What they have done. Well, as I shared with your neighbors, the Monies, earlier, sir, if you'd like to hang out for after the meeting, once we get through the agenda, to talk to any members of council, you're welcome,
you know,
to.
What is going to be done? I mean, you can do that, but see me, I get into it, I can't talk.
That's what I'm saying, calm down. Because you did yourself, you said, we don't need that. We don't need that. We don't need that.
You know,
they all got their moments. You don't need that. That's upset.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Our public comment is, I'm not going to speak on things that I'm not familiar with at the moment, but as I said, I will invite everybody, if you want to talk to any of us afterwards, stick around after the meeting.
So who's the best person to talk to? Which one do you guys are the best ones to talk to?
Well, we're all members of the city council, so
who's the best one to talk to that can possibly help them?
We could all discuss this after the meeting. Is there anyone else who wanted to make comment during our public comment section on anything to be talked about? So we're going to move on to our next public comment. This is for anything that is being voted on this evening, anything that is on the agenda. There's no one signed up, so I'll go around the room. Turn to the left. I turn to the center. Mr. Antalis.
Stephen Antalis again, Senators in Ridge. I try and make my comments objective after some research. They're rarely my opinion, which is by definition subjective. In reference to Resolution 10A, firearm purchase, I wish to quote from a high-profile blog a comment concerning a member of council voting no on gun sales in the past as a matter of conscience. Blogger said rather than a matter of conscience, they called it blatant virtue signaling. Not my words. What was interesting is that all the comments made by public to the blogger were in support of the blogger, which was significant because it represented the majority of people favoring gun sales. And unfortunately, some of the comments were rather negative, which I think were inappropriate, but they try to make a point. We are all free as private citizens to have personal opinions, but a citizen voted to public office by the public and who sits behind that table becomes a public servant and their priorities change. And public welfare becomes prime, while their private views now become secondary. The 6 votes supporting the sale of weapons reflects the will of the people, while the 1 vote reflects one's personal view. Might that lone voter reconsider their position?
Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment on anything being voted on this evening? I'll turn to the right. Anyone who wanted to make comment on anything that we're voting on tonight? We will move forward with our agenda. Old business? Any old business for members of council? See none. Communications? Communication 6C.
A July 5th, 2023 memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Cott with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the Third Class City Code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda this evening. Communication 6D.
A July 6th, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution and exhibit from Health Director Kristen Wenrick requesting destruction of records from the Health Bureau. Ms. Wenrick has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act and the records listed on the exhibit fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
And a resolution will be placed on the August 1st City Council agenda. Communication 6E.
A July 7th, 2023 memorandum with a proposed resolution from Edward Bastola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources. recommending an agreement with Great Western Services Incorporated of Allentown. The cost is $194,448.75 to provide materials and labor to restore water and sewer utility trenches at various locations within the city. Contracts will run for up to 60 days from the notice to proceed. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
A July 12, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Police Chief Michelle Cott requesting the destruction of records from the police department. The chief has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records listed on the exhibit fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
And a resolution will be placed on our August 1st City Council agenda. Communication 6G.
A July 12, 2023 memorandum and proposed ordinance from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, requesting a budget transfer of $252,502 in the 2023 capital budget for non-utilities. The amount reflects paving reimbursement received from UGI for street overlay work that will be completed in 2023 using in-house resources for portions of East Wall, West Broad, West Market, and Main Streets.
And Ordinance 9A is on the agenda for first reading. Communication 6H.
The July 13, 2023 memorandum with proposed resolution associated with Amendment Number 2, Special Event Permit Agreement from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. for handwork plats and leader plats. Permits are for the permittees are Arts Quest and AKM Entertainment LLC. The agreement is for August 4th through 13th of 2023 and August 2nd through 11th of 2024. For use of certain City and Redevelopment Authority property for carnival rides, inflatable bounce attractions, and use of other Redevelopment Authority property located in the Sun Inn Courtyard during Music Fest 2023 and Music Fest 2024.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6I.
A July 13, 2023 memorandum and proposed resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Memorandum seeks permission to apply for a $2 million multimodal transportation fund grant from the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development to address safety and connectivity concerns along West 3rd Street between Northampton Street and Broadhead Avenue. The grant has an application deadline of July 31st.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda tonight. Reports. I have one report. I will be reappointing Marilyn Kelly Kavoda to the Human Relations Commission. I'll ask the clerk to read the Council Manic appointment.
Council Manic appointment of Marilyn Kelly Kavoda to the Human Relations Commission. Resolution to confirm is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
I'll just say Ms. Kelly's been serving on the Human Relations Commission for over 6 years. I've kind of lost count at this point, and currently serves as our chair and has been a great volunteer serving. So I was happy to hear she was interested in continuing to serve. Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Mr. Spurk.
Thank you, President Colon. A number of administrative orders, if I may. Administrative order number 2023-14, I hereby reappoint Stacy Elise Brennan, 5407 Locust Valley Road, Coopersburg, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through November 2026.
Administrative order of Stacy Elise Brennan, Fine Arts Commission. Resolution to confirm is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0.
Thank you. Administrative order number 2023-15, I hereby reappoint Sandra Bat Gillen, 804 Wood Street, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through December 2026.
Administrative order of Sandra Bat Gillen to the Fine Arts Commission. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0.
Thank you. Administrative order number 2023-16. I hereby reappoint
Janet B. Pressler, 1728 Woodstown Road, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through November 2026.
Administrative order of Janet B. Pressler to the Fine Arts Commission. Resolution to confirm is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Kubiak.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 5-0.
Administrative order number 2023-17. I hereby appoint Missy Hartney, 1912 Hart Street, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through October 2024.
Administrative order of Missy Hartney to the Fine Arts Commission. Resolution to confirm is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Kubiak.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 5-0.
Administrative order number 2023-18. I hereby reappoint Ian Panico, 1939 Hart Street, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through September 2026.
Administrative order of Ian Panico to the Fine Arts Commission. Resolution to confirm is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. Call the roll.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Kubiak.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Administrative order number 2023-19. I hereby appoint Dr. Jill Sparandio, 510 High Street, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through April 2026.
Administrative order of Jill Sparandio to the Fine Arts Commission. Resolution to confirm is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Kubiak.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 5-0.
And finally, administrative order number 2023-20. I hereby appoint Laura Collins Esquire, 77 West Greenwich Street, to the Bethlehem Revitalization and Improvement Authority. This appointment is effective through October 2027.
Administrative order of Laura Collins Esquire, Bethlehem Revitalization and Improvement Authority. Resolution confirmed is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Before I open up for discussion, I'm going to ask Mr. We heard some comments during public comment regarding this appointment and council voting on it. I'm going to turn to our council solicitor, Mr. Pinella, here to my left, just to weigh in on Mr. Pinella, share whatever thoughts you have about would it be appropriate for council to vote on this?
For the appropriateness, we'll save that for a moment, but I will say upon review of not just the third class city code, but the optional third class city code, of course, which operates and controls Bethlehem, there is no technical prohibition of a city employee serving on this authority. Beyond that, there's actually, from looking back on it, there's a little bit of historical precedent of that happening in Bethlehem. Mr. Joe Kelly, when he was actually in the exact same position as Attorney Collins here, he actually served on the same authority when it was created. Whether or not it's appropriate or what have you, that's something for council to vote on and decide. But I will say confidently that there is no legal prohibition against her serving on this board if council was to vote for that.
Maybe appropriate was the wrong choice of word, Mr. Pinella, but you answered what I meant to ask. And before I open up to other members of council, I will simply say I will be supporting this tonight for some of the reasons that Mr. Pinella had already outlined this position. And Ms. Collins is here, by the way, of course, if anyone has questions for Ms. Collins. But as Mr. Pinella had referenced, the position that Ms. Collins currently occupies was once occupied by the predecessor in this role. And the Brea board is one of five, if I'm not mistaken. So this is not a appointment to be chairperson or executive director or anything like that. This is to be one of five voting members to essentially the CRIS authority. So I will be supporting this tonight. Any other discussion from members of council? Start with Ms. Wilhelm.
I will also be supporting this tonight, but I want to make sure I understood you correctly, Solicitor Pinella. And I'm not sure to whom to direct my questions. And I'll just shout. I do have questions, so I don't know, Ms. Connor, would you be the one to answer them? Just can I confirm whose term is up on the Brea board? I will defer to Ms. Carner on questions on historical context, and she can answer yours. If you have any questions for me personally, I'm happy to answer this as well.
These are just historical.
And while she's walking up to the front, could you try Dr. Van Wert's microphone and see if that gives you feedback? I'm sorry to make you do some Jenga here.
That's okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Ms. Leon also has one if you need.
I'll just make my way down. Could you please confirm whose term is up that Ms. Collins would be replacing?
Well, the terms are, they run through October, the end of October of each year. So the term that expired was held by Joe Kelly. And so the bylaws for the authority indicate that you don't serve until replaced. Your term ends when your term ends. So it's technically been a vacant position since that time.
Thank you for clarifying. And when was Joe Kelly appointed?
In November of 2013, when the authority was created, and the other board members, the initial board members of the authority, were also appointed at the time.
Okay, so he was appointed when BREA was initially created.
Yes.
Okay, and his role at the time that he was appointed to BREA was what?
He was director of the Department of Community and Economic Development.
Okay, so Joe Kelly, at the creation of BREA, was the director of Community and Economic Development. And can you articulate, I know, I don't think you were in your role at that time?
I was not in my role.
Oh, obviously
not.
I was
not appointed until January of 2014.
Thank you. So are you able to give us some insight on why it might have been determined that the Director of Community and Economic Development would be of value to the BREA board?
So at the time the authority was created, we as the city needed a municipal authority to be able to apply for the CRIS new opportunity that was presented to third-class cities that had certain sizes within Pennsylvania. And so I think that there was a, well, first of all, we have moved in the city under the last administration and continued that under this administration to try to use our economic development tools comprehensively. And I would describe those as being not just the CRIS Authority, but the Redevelopment Authority and the Bethlehem Economic Development Corporation. And so to ensure that we are all, as I'd like to say, rowing the boat in the same direction, staffing those, participating those, managing them comprehensively so that we can maximize our economic development efforts. And so I think that it is an excellent example of ensuring that authority had continuity with the Department of Community and Economic Development at the time.
That makes sense to me. So I'll just confirm again that I understand that at the creation of BREA, the Director of Community and Economic Development was appointed to the board by the mayor who created BREA.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Ms. Leo?
Councilwoman Kwiatek did answer
Sorry.
I am really... I am so sorry.
I apologize.
It's all very confusing. The council person to my immediate right asked a lot of questions that I would have had. But you did say that it's considered a vacant position. So you're not actually replacing anybody because the position is currently vacant because he doesn't continue to serve.
That's correct.
The term is over. So this isn't replacing one person with another. This is filling.
The term is vacant. Position. Yeah, it expired at the end of October.
Okay. And I could see why a person from administration would be there. Like, conceptually, I thought it was weird at first, but when I went back and saw kind of the background workings of it, I guess that kind of does make sense. It's a board of five people. Do we have anybody else from the administration currently serving on?
Not on the board of directors.
Not on the board of directors, and those are the people who like vote and make the decisions and stuff like that?
Those are the voting members of the board.
Okay, so this wouldn't, like, change the dynamic of power on the board at all?
Not on the board, no.
I think that's it, but now I'm all flustered from this, so I have something else to ask.
We'll be here.
Okay.
Ms. Enix?
I'm not understanding the authority structure. I represent the council on the water authority, and I do not vote. There is a member of the administration on that authority who doesn't vote and who we are not in executive session. So give me a clear picture of the role that the member of the administration would play on this?
So there are board members. They would vote. They would participate in all conversations. They would be the officers of the authority. They would make motions and seconds and all of the things that come with being board members. And so this is an appointment for a board position. It's not a liaison. It is a board position.
Okay, I understand it's board position, but the person is on the administration. Isn't that kind of a conflict there?
I think your solicitor answered that question for you. That's not a question that I think is mine to answer. I would assure you that we have a history. We not only had the Director of Community and Economic Development for the City of Bethlehem, we had the Director of Community and Economic Development for the City of Easton on the board at one time. And so there's a long history of needing technical expertise on this authority. And so there is an importance placed on qualifications, understanding of public finance, of understanding the specific requirements of the CRIS authority. There's a role that this authority plays that you don't see on a water authority or, you know, some of the others. And so it is very, very much centered on economic development. And the importance is place not so much on a position held, but by the expertise they bring to the table. And so I would say to you that this is a position that needs to be filled, when possible, by the Director of Community and Economic Development for the City of Bethlehem.
And there are 5 members?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
Very briefly. Our authorities, boards, and commissions, they're all very distinct and have their own way of running things. Each one to another, you can't really compare. For instance, I am a liaison to several. I have a vote on one and not on two of the others. So each of them has their own bylaws and their own organizational structure and practices, right?
Yeah, some are created under different state acts. So this is a municipal authority, and we have a redevelopment authority created under the Redevelopment Authority Act, which you are a liaison on.
Right.
So yeah, they are different.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? I'll just add, until a few days ago, I thought this position, it was written, was on the authority. It's just how we have our chief zoning, our inspector is on certain authorities and things like that, because to me it just made sense when I saw it come through. So if there's no other discussion, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0.
Nothing further from the administration.
Thank you, Mr. Sherk. Moving on to ordinances for final passage, the clerk will read Bill 27-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 General Fund. Bill 27-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? Ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Rebuild 28-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 28-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Bill 29-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 29-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Grimson-Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quintec?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Bill 30, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 30, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 5-0. And Bill 31, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 Community Development Block Grant Budget. Bill 31, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Moving on to new ordinances, for which we have one this evening. We'll read Bill 32, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 32, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Moving on to resolutions, Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of the city-issued handgun Sergeant Sean Connolly, a retired police officer. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
Yes, hi. I would like to just offer some facts. Guns are the leading cause of death for U.S. children and teens since surpassing car accidents in 2020. Firearms accounted for nearly 19% of childhood deaths aged 1 through 18 in 2021, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention database. Nearly 3,600 children died in gun-related incidents that year. That's about 5 children lost for every 100,000 children in the United States. In no other comparable country are firearms within the top 4 causes of mortality among children, according to a KFF analysis. That's the Kaiser Family Foundation. So those are facts. And another fact is that we as council members vote on the sale of firearms to retiring officers. There are opinions as to whether or not retired officers are safer with their weapons than other people. Those are opinions. I don't have data on that. I don't know that there's data available. But I do know that one of the things we can vote on one time that I have a vote where I can do something about the prevalence of firearms in our society and the fact that no other comparable country has this kind of rate of child killing by firearms is in these votes. And so I will continue to vote no. Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? Ms. Leon?
I will say that I totally respect that opinion, but
it's not an opinion.
I totally respect your facts. While I also just want to give voice to the fact that first responders, prior military, they just see these things, these sidearms, very differently. They tend to be extremely cautious and careful with them. And not that this is a good fact, but the receiving end of violence from those sidearms tend to be they themselves because of the things that they endure during their periods of time. So I just, not negating what you're saying, just saying that there's reasons why they're seen as a protection mechanism for people that are first responders.
Thank you for those words, Councilwoman Leon. And I would respond by saying that death by suicide with a firearm is a very big problem for our first responders, former first responders, former military service people. And the fact that that firearm would be in their home means the likelihood is higher. So suicide prevention is also a concern. I shared the statistics about, firearms being the leading cause of death in children ages 1 to 18, because I think that's a pretty shocking statistic, especially since, no comparable country has that kind of problem. So that's why I chose to share that statistic. But I agree with you that death by suicide is a huge problem and a great concern. And many times a firearm is used in the commission of that death. And if it wasn't there, there might have been an opportunity to prevent that suicide. So yeah, thank you for your thoughts.
Any other discussion from members of council? Ms. Wallman?
I do wish somebody were here for me to confirm this publicly, but I think I just want to clarify and put this in context that, the implication is that this weapon will not end up in someone's hands. And, the first time we were called to make such a vote, I did a lot of research and thought about it very hard, and I did a lot of inquiring as to what happens if we vote no, what happens to the gun. And unless something has changed, the gun will be sold. I think it's important to at least clarify that the opposite of allowing an officer to purchase their weapon is not that the weapon is then never to be used again. I just also want to just clarify that it's a decision that we all put a lot of thought into, and it's a lot of gray area. And I think I just wanted to clarify that it's not, we're not voting to keep this gun active versus having it be locked into a closet somewhere, never to be used again. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilhelm. Any other comment from members of council?
Just that I would welcome, I know this is my third, so I won't speak again.
Floor is yours.
I would welcome my fellow council members to consider whether there was a way for us to change that so that the opposite of not selling, of selling the gun to the retiring officer is not that it goes out on the open market. If there is a way that we can legally change that so that it would remain in the possession of the police department, stored safely, used for training, or destroyed if it's no longer, worthy of use by the department, I would welcome a conversation about that at some point.
As would I, and that is a different vote.
I'm going to share some thoughts as it relates. Now, we've had a few of these votes over this current term, and then in my years on council, and I'll be supporting this tonight as I have, but one thing that I think warrants mention is we heard during public comment this almost like polling or representation of what the will is. As elected officials, I don't remember any election that were unanimous for turnout. So as we talk about what the will, we hear a lot in these chambers from up here, the community, whoever decides to give input about sort of the will of the electorate, the will of the community, the will of the city. Well, I don't really think any of us could, any of us, President Comey included, can, Speaker included, can take ownership of saying that. And I think these votes, as they've been, and seems they will be tonight, are a good example of democracy. We're going to have some split votes at times. This is something that is sensitive for good reason, as we've had repeated discussions, as we've had these repeated votes, echoing the comments by Councilwoman Leone, as the nephew, as has been referenced here before, of two retired police officers, one who served here in the city of Bethlehem. I understand the attachment that our officers have to it, and I will also note that none of these votes have ever failed. In the time that we've been voting on them. So I think that even though I will be supporting this, to shape the conversation around a different perspective that's shared, as if somehow that's a disservice when, as representatives of the community, we all, for anything we vote on, represent different perspectives. And I'm not going to do my own polling, but I would say with confidence that there are likely some measure of community members who don't agree with me when I vote in the affirmative to say this. I just think that bears mentioning that while, okay, again, I will be supporting this and don't think I'll be changing that perspective anytime soon, that to again paint as if somehow that council, anytime there's a disagreement or it's not unanimous, or if it is unanimous against one side of the argument, that's somehow a disservice to those who have elected us. I just think that's a mischaracterization. If there's no other comment from members of council, we'll call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Nay.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 4-1. The clerk will read Resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Great Western Services Incorporated to restore water and sewer utility trenches at various locations within the City of Bethlehem. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. We'll call roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10C.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an amendment to a special event permit agreement with Arts Quest and AKM Entertainment LLC for activities at Handwerkplatz and Liederplatz during Music Fest 2023 and Music Fest 2024. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the appropriate city officers are authorized to execute all documents and agreements between the City of Bethlehem and the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development to assist in obtaining a multimodal transportation fund grant to be used for the West 3rd Street corridor. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Moving on to our COAs, I'll accept a motion and a second to consider resolutions 10E through 10G as a group.
So moved.
Motion by Councilwoman Kliatek, second by Councilwoman Leon. Any discussion on the motion? We'll call the roll on the motion.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Motion passes 5-0. Please read the group.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem resolutions are granted for 515 Main Street to replace a restaurant sign, install a double-sided blade sign, and repaint certain building facade elements. 46 East Church Street to add a screen door to the front entrance of the house, and 418-420 Main Street to remove slate tile roofing and replace it with GAF slate line designer shingles, as well as replace the copper gutters and downspouts. The resolutions are sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on the group? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Any new business for members of council? Ms. Leon?
All right, a few weeks ago, we took a vote on an issue that I had expressed a great deal of hesitation surrounding voting on it. I felt like I hadn't done my due diligence on it. I had wanted a bit more time, but as these things happen, it just wasn't the case. But I continue to have the conversations that I would have had regardless, including conversations with people within the administration at the county level, some prior officers, as well as a few of the immigration lawyers that serve over on the south side. And my understanding of these things continues to evolve, and as they evolve, I mean, we can't turn back time, but I hope that that memorandum of whatever it's called, that thing, you know what I'm talking about, was it called?
It's the Memorandum of Understanding, I believe is what you're referencing.
When the I would hope that at some point the Memorandum of Understanding could come back to council. We can address some of the questions that I had that led me to having the discussions with some of our community members and some of the officers. I feel like that's a conversation that we would all benefit from.
Thank you, Council. Any other new business for members of council?
Just a reminder, Thursday, our West Side Town Hall at 7 o'clock at the DAR House. Councilman Colon and I will be there to give updates and answer questions from folks on the West Side.
I'll be there, and I want to thank members of the administration who had followed up with us regarding some questions we had, just so we're prepared to give updates to those who come out for information on Thursday. Any other new business for members of council? Get home safely, everyone. This meeting is adjourned.